Go sit by somebody. Because we're supposed to be around other people, even at church. If I'm too loud, let me know if I need to move into stuff, okay? I thought it probably wouldn't be me if I didn't do at least one dad joke for the youth here. And I don't know if this... So I thought I'd start with that just to get it out of the way, okay? So this man passes away and he's at heaven's gates and he's sitting there and there's one test you have to have because he's kind of on the edge. Is he going to make it? I don't know. So one test, it's a super easy test. God does it, always makes it easy, okay? So he says, angel sends him out and says, hey, okay, just go ask him what my name is, okay? So angel gets out there, is talking to this guy, says, okay, you know, you got one test to make it in. That's it. We just need to know what God's name is. Spoiler alert, there's a lot of them, you know, there's a lot of names. So he's got lots to choose from, okay? He says, okay, just go take an hour, think about it, and come back. Comes back, he's sitting there, and okay. So if you come to a decision, the guy says, yes, okay, it's Andy. Angel looks at him and says, okay, you've got like all, I don't, what are you talking about? Like, there's so many options. What do you mean? You know, like, you know, Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me, Andy knows my name, Andy, no, so, no, sir. So, Andy, it's not Andy, okay, guys, that's and space he, and he, okay, and he knows my name, okay, guys. So I got that out of the way, I got my dad joke, you know. So I'm gonna start with prayer, and then we're going to jump right in. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the honor of being up here. Lord, I do not take it lightly. So, Lord, use me today to show your people something that they need to hear. So we just ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And I do say thank you because it is an honor to be up here. And it really is. And I just, who can agree with me that the Holy Spirit moves in and through this place? Amen. I do, okay? So, Brittany spoke last week and she talked to Joshua too. And I thought, wow, that's so cool because I've been studying. We didn't talk about notes or tell me anything because I'm going to Joshua 1 today. Okay, so you can move ahead there. And I also want to say thank you, Pastor Ricky, for listening to the Holy Spirit because you could probably take these notes to finish it out because you started it. You gave me a good introduction to what we're going to talk about today. Okay, so if I was going to title it, it would say, Rest in the Fact That the Lord Is With You. Okay, amen. For the audio, I said, The Lord Is With You, so we have a shorter title for them. Okay, I made it easy on them. Okay, but rest in the fact that the Lord is with you. All right? So we're going to go to Joshua 1. And while you go there, I want to talk a little bit about Joshua. Okay? So this book, it is believed that Joshua is the author. And it's of his accounts. They don't believe that he wrote the last part because that's of his funeral and his death and stuff. So they don't think he wrote that part. Just like they don't believe Moses wrote about his own funeral. And he was a very humble man. Not many people say you're a very humble man. So that's what Moses, there's this part of Moses. But another interesting fact is that this is the first book of the Bible after the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible, the law. So this is the first book after Moses. So this is pretty cool. And the best part is that Moses built up a leader in Joshua, and Joshua gets to continue on with his legacy. Okay? That's important, too, to know that there are people that go before us. So just as Pastor Tim and Pastor Barr went before Pastor Ricky and Pastor Chelsea, and it's good to know, Pastor Tim, that he's still doing his tithe super long. I'm just kidding. I'm just playing. It was really good. It's really good. I was like, keep going. That way. So if I go long, it's not my fault entirely, okay? But with that said, we're going to move right into Joshua 1. I just thought I have to give Pastor Tim the laugh, you know? Okay, so, but it was so good. I was like, okay, keep going. I was like, seriously. Just take these and go with it, okay? So Joshua 1, starting in verse 1, we're going to go through 13. And this is out of the NASB. I believe we had that translation. And I found out recently that there's a 1995 edition, which is good. That's what I'm using. And now there's a 2020 edition. I'm like, I don't know what all changes. It's good. Just leave it, okay? So in verse 1, it says, Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua. Okay, let's just stop right there. The Lord spoke to Joshua. Yeah. All right, this is a big deal. Like, I mean, like, he speaks to us to this day. Yeah. It may look different. Some people hear the audible voice of God. I personally have never heard the audible voice of God, but I want to believe that that's because I didn't need to hear it. Like, I'm just listening to him. You know, I'm hoping that's what I'm going for, okay? Because sometimes when you hear the audible voice, it's like, hey, get back on track. Let's go. But so I've never heard the audible voice. But I know that he goes with me, okay? So this text and this sermon is just as much for me as it is for you. So if anybody gets something out of it, I've already been blessed by it. So if you get something, that's awesome too, okay? So we'll jump right in. It says, "The Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant is dead.'" So this is God speaking to Joshua. "Now therefore arise." That in itself is like a powerful thing. God himself says, arise. So get up. Let's do this, okay? "Cross this Jordan, and you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel." So here's the thing. It's not just kind of like Pastor Ricky was talking about Abram. It wasn't just Abram got up and went. This is Joshua and Israel's people. So like, get up and get your people. Let's go. Okay? Get my people is what he's saying. But get them and let's go. Listen to this part here. Verse 3. "Every place in which your sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you."
Yeah.
I have given it to you.
Yeah.
So in that fact, I'll get to this in a second, but he's giving the land to you. Okay? "Just as I spoke to you, Moses, from the wilderness of the in this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land and all the Hittites as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory." He's setting his territory. This is kind of like that five-year plan, but he's giving it to him right now. Okay, so here's the thing. Go, and it'll be yours. So go. So now, verse 5. "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life." Isn't that kind of a nice assurance?
Amen.
To know, like, hey, if I'm on God's plan, not my five-year plan, but God's plan, and I go, you will know that there's no man that can stand in front of you.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
No man can stop you. That means woman too, okay, guys? Mankind here, okay? So no woman can stop me either, okay? "So just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you."
Amen.
That is such an assurance.
Yeah.
"I will not fail you or forsake you."
Amen.
Verse 6, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possessions of the land I swore to their fathers to give them." Okay, so this is, again, he is to go and get the promised land. Okay? And he, Joshua, and Caleb are actually the only two spies that went ahead and said, you know what? This is the land that God gave us. Let's go get it.
Yes.
The other 10 were not listening. And let's not give them too much trash, because how many times have we missed it and thought, hey, but here's the thing. These are the two, Joshua and Caleb, that said, this is God's land, we shall take it.
Yes.
Okay? So this is the leader that he rose up. Okay? That's who we're listening to here. Verse 7. "Only be strong and very courageous," not just courageous, but very courageous. "Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go." This is kind of like a stipulation, okay? Meaning, if you go, he will give you the land, but listen to what I've said to you, okay? And sometimes, like, oh, God's not talking to me, I'm just not hearing him. Okay, well, have you listened to God?
Amen.
Amen.
Because God talks to us as often as we want to listen from him, okay? Because if God's not talking to you, and I'm not trying to push any buttons, but here's the thing. If you don't hear God talking to you, when's the last time you talked to him? Because it is a two-way street. So when's the last time I personally stopped and read my Bible, spoke to him, okay? Hopefully it's daily, okay? Hopefully daily, if not like hourly. Sometimes we need like that, you know, that minutely, like, okay, I need to go back to, Lord, just give me that verse of the day at least. Let me get back to there, okay? All right, but here's the thing. The Lord is just speaking to me right now, because this is not in my notes, but the Holy Spirit said to me, when's the last time you spoke to me? Okay?
Amen.
Because I cannot go with you if you don't go with me. So it's kind of a full circle. Like, he can't go with you if you're not going with him.
Amen.
Okay? And I'm going to get to that probably a little later, but verse 8, I'm just going through the first 13 verses, then I'm going to go to some other stuff. But verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, Okay? That means, we hear in other scriptures, you know, bring up your child in the way of the Lord, and it shall not depart from their mouth. Okay? This is that. You have to put it on your mouth first, so it won't depart from it.
Amen.
So we have to be in this. And I'll say it too. We're kind of spoiled in the sense that, like, the Bible is everywhere we go now. Because if you don't know, if you didn't know, there's a Bible app, okay? And you can also Google stuff. Hey, where does it say this? And you can literally look up like 15 verses of where it says that, if it's in there. So if you're not finding it, then know that you're not following it. So check it out real quick and go back to that. So, I mean, if you can't Google it, then it's not there. So don't go searching for something if it's not there, okay? All right. So according to his, that is written, part 2 of verse 8, there says, in it, for then you will prosperous, and then you will have success. Who likes success? Anybody?
Amen.
Cool. I kind of like to go into stuff and be successful. It's not so fun not being successful, right?
Yeah.
So I've had the blessing to not have too many unsuccessful things, but it's nice to have success, right?
Yeah.
Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Now this is really good, okay? If the God's asking you something, it's kind of usually like, hey, I've already said this, but it says right here, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Okay, he's already said this, but he's asking the same question. He's asking the question again, have I not already told you this? Okay, and if God says something, it's not by accident. If it's in his word, it's not by accident.
Yeah, that's right.
The author, Joshua, didn't accidentally put this in there twice.
Yeah, right.
Okay?
Amen.
So if it's said twice, usually it means it has at least twice as much meaning. Like it needs to be repeated.
Yeah.
If you hear it a third time, it's like, okay, you're not getting it.
Right.
So let's get it, okay? So he only says it twice. You're there. But then verse 10, okay? This is where there's a small transition, okay? It goes from a charge to Joshua. And now this is where Joshua is to actually take the command, all right? It says here in verse 10, then Joshua commanded to the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and commanded the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself. For within 3 days you have to cross this Jordan to go and to possess the land which your Lord, your God, has given you. So this is what God has already told him. Now he's commanding it to his people, all right? To possess it, okay? To the, now these are names that if you just, this is how I got through French class, okay? You just say it really fast and say it with confidence, okay? And that's how you do it. So these names here, right? To the Rehoboams and to the Gittites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh. See, I got through really fast. We just keep on going. Here you go. Just keep on moving. Those names there, okay? Joshua said, now this is verse 13, okay? This is a big deal to me, and I hope that you find the same importance with it. But it says, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, okay? So he's already been told to Moses, and Moses is now told Joshua. It says, the Lord your God gives you rest.
Amen.
The Lord your God gives you rest. And he will give you the land, okay? He gives you rest. How many people... By a show of hands, it's okay, this is not a trick question. You're allowed to share your hand on this one. How many people like a little rest? Okay? How many people need a little rest? Okay? Now, here we are. Okay? This is good stuff, right? The Lord will give you rest even in the midst of things to come. Okay? Joshua is taking command here of the Israel people. Okay? Kind of a big deal. You know, it's passing from Moses to Joshua. Okay? And it's good to know that Moses went before him, but he's going to give Joshua rest, even in the midst of this command, okay?
Amen.
And I thought that was really cool. So there's these little notes in your Bible. So if you don't have one like this, get a little study Bible. They're awesome, okay? Don't go to this first. Go to the text first, okay?
Yes, sir.
Listen to what God has to say to you first, because everything below that is just what man has to say. And it's good stuff, and it wouldn't be in there if it wasn't good stuff. But go to God first. Then check your notes, okay? So I check the notes, and it says to go to Deuteronomy 3:20 for this word of rest, okay? And in here, it gives a really cool definition. Okay, I want you to hear this. The word rest here is defined in the notes of my Bible. Oh, I already said that, sorry. a peaceful situation, free from external threat and oppression, and untroubled within by conflict, famine, or plague. I thought this was really cool because Pastor Ricky just talked about this. He just talked about how there was a plague for Abram. But was he affected by it?
No, sir.
Did he need to worry about it?
No.
Could he still find rest in the Lord amongst those things?
Yes.
And I want to say that he probably might not even know it for a little while. Like somebody probably had to tell him, hey, there's a plague going on. Oh, sorry. Like one of those things like, oh, my bad, I missed it. Sorry, let me put you guys at ease because I'm good, you know. So he's listening to the Lord. When you go with the Lord, these things, the troubles tend to not necessarily go away, but they don't affect you.
Yeah.
Okay? And I want to talk about that because there's a thing here. It doesn't say that he was without troubles. It doesn't say that he was without conflict, without famine or plague. But it says that he was at rest in those things.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay? Amen. Because there was still, as Pastor Ricky was talking about in Abram, with Abram, he said that there was a plague. Did he take the plague away from everybody? There was still a plague in the land. There are still things going around in this day that we do not have to partake in.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
There are going to be things. And here's the thing. If there aren't things going around you that you can see visibly, you might want to ask yourself, am I doing the right thing? Because there will be troubles around you. But the difference when there's troubles around you is, am I listening to God, and what can I learn in this situation? Because he doesn't say he'll take you out of the trouble, but he will get you through it.
Amen.
Okay? Now, if you're not learning anything from the struggle, that's when you got to recalculate, okay? Get back on track. Because as Pastor Ricky was saying, if Abram would have went this way, he would have seen the famine. He would have seen those things. But because he was going with the Lord and where the Lord told him to go, he was going without the things of this world. He was going with God's blessing, okay? So we can rest in the fact that the Lord is going with us. All right, so a little thing here is that, like, God will sometimes even ask you to go to the hard places. And, like, like Pastor Ricky, I'm not trying to keep going back to Pastor Ricky, but he's hearing from the Lord, and he got into the Word, and he set up such a good introduction for this message. I'm so grateful. But the thing is, when we listen to the Lord and we go where he goes, it's truly goodness, okay? So an example here is, we've all heard of probably Jonah and the big fish, okay? God told Jonah to go to these people, okay? And he's like, I don't want to go there. I don't like them, okay? There's more to it. Like, these were people that were bad people, okay? And they did bad stuff, lots of bad stuff. And it did bad things to a lot of people. And it's just bad thing you don't want to go to. Not many people are signed me up. Please sign me up. I want to go there, okay? But here's the thing. God told him to go, okay? And here's a kind of encouraging thing. He didn't listen at first. Anybody not listen before?
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
Well, he got him there anyways, okay? Via the big fish. God actually saved him. And sometimes you can read that as the fish was like a bad thing, but no, like really, God sent that fish and prepared him beforehand, that fish, to save Jonah, okay? Because he's like, spoiler alert, Jonah's probably going to miss the mark. I'll get this. I'll get in there anyways. We'll get him there safe, okay? So he still gets him there, and then guess what? He went to this hard place, and all those people turned their lives to the Lord, okay? So if you're like going to a hard place, make sure you're checking yourself and you're hearing from the Lord. But if you're hearing from the Lord, he tells you to go. Go and know that you can still do it with rest and peace, okay? So verse 13 here is basically showing that Joshua found rest even when he took on the command of this new army. Not the new army, it's Israel, his people, okay? I wanted to say this too. And then I thought about this actually in prayer before church. And I say, the Lord told me, don't make the enemy bigger than he is. Okay? And it's about perspective. Okay? Because here's an example. When I was growing up, your dad is like the biggest dude, right? So like, I'm growing up and even to like this day, you almost see your dad as like this big guy. There'll be pictures of me and him standing beside me, and I'm taller than him now. So like, I'm bigger than him and things like that. But it's like, in my mind, that's my dad. Yeah. So like, he's bigger. Like that's my, like he was there for me. He raised me. Like he helped do all these things. So that's my perspective. Like he's this big guy. Okay. But he'll always be my dad. Okay. But I'm taller than him now. So like, I'm bigger than him. I could whoop him for sure. But I'm just kidding. he might try, but no. There's always that battle. I had the battle with my older brother too, that he thought he could whoop me for the longest time. I got him. But the thing is, it's about that perspective. When we put the enemy into perspective, he's under my feet. The word says, here's your perspective. Here is what we look to say where the enemy actually is. He is beneath me. He is so far beneath me, I don't even have to look to see where he's at. Okay? Just like I'm bigger than my dad now. Okay? But the thing is, the enemy has always been smaller. I had to grow to get there. And just like us, we have to grow our faith to get to the point where we can realize, I am bigger than that enemy. He's under my feet. Like, I can go and I can rest assured that I'm bigger than my enemy. So like, what's going to stop me, right? So have that. Know that. Joshua 9, we'll go back here, and it says, have I not commanded you? Again, that question is kind of like rhetorical, like, I've already told you this, but here it is. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So, the Lord your God will go with you through the hard times, through the good times, in those times you just need extra rest, okay? Because you're like, man, this is just, it's not hard, it's just a lot to do sometimes. Because sometimes, like, if you looked at one of the tasks that you have in your day or your week, I could do that, no problem. But then if you start looking at every task, your five-year plan, if you start looking at every task that has to be done, then it gets pretty daunting, okay? But when you go, you take that step and you go, okay, today I'm going to do this task. I'll take on Monday, and then I'll take on Tuesday, and Wednesday, therefore, and so on. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they kind of blend together. Just kidding. But no. But really, though, like, once you take on the day or even the hour, Lord, let me get through this hour. Let me just, this next hour. I've got 47 students in my class, one set of eyes. Let me get through this hour, okay? That's so one of those things like, okay, Lord, let them not get into a fight today. Please, let me just not have to break up a fight. But really, though, once you get through it, you realize, okay, I can find rest in the Lord. Okay, that's good, right? Amen. So, Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. Sometimes I get excited and I talk fast, so just listen fast. I try, but I'll be slow down. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4 says, For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you, against your enemies to save you. Okay? Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Okay? These are times that we need to know. These are more scriptures. If I can't leave you with anything, I always like to leave you with scriptures, knowing that these are good things you can go back to. That the God will not fail me. He will not forsake me. If I walk with him all the days of my life, I am assured that he will not fail me. Amen. There's this movie called Meet the Robinsons. It's a kids movie. I'll say I actually watched it before I had kids, because I like movies, whatever. But now that I have kids, I get to show them and stuff. And there's this part in the movie, I won't give any spoilers away in case you want to watch it, okay? For anybody who has Disney Plus out there and stuff. But there's this part in the movie where this kid steals his father's time machine, okay? Pretty crazy, right? And he breaks it. He's like, hey, you got to come help me, because if I don't fix this time machine, my dad is going to basically, like, you know, be in, you know, a hard time forever, basically. Because he literally has a time machine, so he can go back in time and, like, make it even worse. I'm just kidding. But, like, here's the thing. This kid is helping him, doing his best. He's, like, basically asking himself, thank you, Holy Spirit, saying, how am I qualified to fix this time machine? You know what I mean? And this kid that says, oh, just keep moving forward, because that's their family saying, just keep moving forward, just keep moving forward. And he messes up, and he says, yo, just keep moving forward. And he's asking himself, how am I even, like, why would I be able to do this? And the kid says, oh, because you're an inventor. And this kid's an inventor. And he says, but basically I can see him saying, how am I even qualified to work on something this big? How am I even qualified to do this? He just keep moving forward. And then he gets to the point where he's so frustrated, he wants to give up. He says, don't say it. And the kid says, keep moving forward. And it's like one of those things, it's just like, I stopped and say, how am I qualified? You know, how am I qualified to deal with God's people? Keep moving forward. But that's what we need to have, is we need to have people in our corner, in our friends around you. So look around. You're at a good spot to find a good friend, okay? This is an A-OK place. That's why I said sit by somebody today, okay? But keep moving forward. Amen. And get somebody in your corner that will move forward with you, okay? And if you ever messed up, I find it interesting now, this might be a weird way to look at it, but sometimes you can almost relate to the people that mess up in the Bible than the people that do it perfect. But if you look at it, God didn't choose anybody perfect. Like the fishermen that were his disciples, they weren't perfect, okay?
Amen.
So if you want to say it like this, God doesn't call the perfect, he perfects the called.
Amen.
Okay? That's not mine. I wish I could take credit for that. But God doesn't call the perfect, he perfects the called, okay? So if you say yes, now you're perfectly qualified to do the call. So say yes and go there for, okay? But I find it interesting, I was actually studying again for the kids, watching this little cartoon video, and something stuck out to me. Okay, if you can't stop and learn from anything God has to say to you, then just take a step back and maybe go back to the YouTube kids videos, okay? But, like, he can still talk to us just as much as he talks to the kids. There's no, we always say there's no junior Holy Spirit back there, okay? So he can talk to us. He told me this, okay? Talking about Paul. And one of the things that stuck out to me was that Paul actually had a hard time relating to Christians at first. Yeah. Anybody have any reason why? Why would Paul have an issue with relating to Christians? He was kind of killing them. I mean, I would be kind of a little intimidated too. Like, this guy is killing people. Now I'm supposed to trust you? Like, I mean, where does that come from? Like, I mean, really? But then there were some people, though, that truly saw his heart. And they knew, okay, We could trust him. And sometimes it takes that literal eye-opening experience for some people.
Yeah.
I hope that I never have to have that. I will never have to have that moment where I get blinded by God and then eyes reopened by God.
Yes, sir.
But he has healed me in many ways. He has done things for me. And those are things that go back to my testimony. So I know that I can walk and rest with the Lord, right? Okay. Let's go ahead to... Let's see here. Another thing is, too, is, like, imagine if Paul just gave up.
Yeah.
You know what, God? You're right, and they're right. How are they supposed to trust me? I used to kill them. I'm safe. I'm going to heaven. I'm good. We're good. But no, he ends up going on to write most of the New Testament. Okay, so God uses those who even persecuted his own people. Like, that's, now don't go out there and persecute your own people, okay? And then, but the thing is, we shouldn't mess up just so God can use us more. No, God uses us, okay? And the thing is, the funny part about this is, not really funny, but I used to think that my testimony was kind of boring. Because I thought, like, man, I didn't overcome drugs. I didn't, like, and this is something, I'm not kidding, because, like, there's people in my life that have overcome drugs, overcome jail, and all these things. But the thing is, I never had overcome drugs.
Come on,
so God used me It kept me from those things that were always right there.
Yes.
So, I mean, those are the things that we should really realize, what is God doing in me and going to do through me? And the thing with that is, like, my brother is like a certified genius, like literally, okay? So he's like working on multi-million-dollar stuff. But the thing is, if I were to compare myself to him, then I might be discouraged. But I always think about this, that God had a call for both of us. And he's doing, and he's also a pastor, helping with the pastoral staff and stuff like that. And the thing is, God had a plan for both of us.
Yes.
Not one of us. Oh, he's more smart. But I mean, I have other things too. But we can relate to different people. We both have a common ground. I always have a common ground with sports with people. That's how Brittany always like laughs, because she's like, "Why do you talk to everybody?" So it's just like one of those things. Like if I see him, one of my best friends, he's a Steelers fan. But that's funny enough. That's actually how I met him. We were at Reese's Soccer, and I just walked up and said, "Really, the Steelers?" Just give him a hard time because he had a jersey on. And we started talking, and then, like, now we're friends. You know what I'm saying? And it's one of those things that, like, God uses what you have. So don't be like, "Oh, wish I could be more like so-and-so." But, like, God will use you just the way you are. And he will, again, perfect you as you walk with him. Okay? So know all you have to do is start walking with him and find rest in him. We're going to go to 1 Peter 3:12. This is another encouraging word. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayers. He sees you, he hears you, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." He hears you, he sees you, he goes with you, and he's even against those who want to do evil against you. Okay? Now, here's the other thing, though, to bring it back. You're never too far from God. Because look at Paul. He's persecuting Christians. And then he uses him. It's kind of like one of those things like, only God would do that. Because it's like, man, this guy's like literally killing the people you're trying to reach. And then he's like, "Well, that's who I want to use. That's who I want to use." And he used Paul to save people then. And in many ways, he's still saving people today through God's word that he wrote down. Amen. Right? Okay. Again, Joshua 1:9 says that he goes with us, but we can look at some scriptures really quickly that say he goes before us. Okay? So going with us is great, but knowing that God has already gone everywhere we could ever go, he goes before us and prepares a way for us. It's kind of like every step that Joshua is to take, the land will be his. Okay? Everywhere we walk will be blessed because we walk there. Amen. It will be a safe place because God goes with us. So we can rest assured those things. Let's go to Deuteronomy 1:30. The funny part is some people like tend to stay away from the Old Testament. I found out that most of my scriptures are in the Old Testament. So the Old Testament is still a great place where you can find refuge.
Amen.
God is still in the Old Testament. He wrote the book. He didn't do anything by accident. He didn't say, "Oh, take out the Old Testament. We no longer use that." Well, we do. Okay? We know that Jesus came in the New Testament, but Jesus is in and through the Old Testament just as much as the New Testament.
Amen.
So know that wherever you open your Bible, you can be fed. Okay? Should I tell the funny story about Reese? So Reese is learning. My daughter is 7. She's learning how to read. Okay? So Brittany said she needed to read on the way to work, on the way to school. So Brittany gave her the Bible. What better place to read, right? So she's reading through it, all these names and stuff. And then Brittany gets back in the car and realizes what she just read. And Reese, she's a why girl. She's like, "But why?" Like, she's like, "Mom, what did I just read? What was it again? Genesis?" So she read through where Noah got drunk and was with. And she's all like, "Mom." And like, you know, what? So Just in case you didn't think the Bible was fun, it's got some crazy stuff in here, okay? It's not all PG. Don't just hand your Bible. So she's reading through like all the names, all the genealogies, and all the stuff, and then she gets to that, and we're like, oh gosh. So you can still laugh about it, though, okay? It's good stuff. And the thing is, though, there is stuff to learn from that, okay? No matter how wicked it might have seemed and stuff, we can learn from that, okay? Don't do that, okay? But it was just one of those things that, like, it's not in there by accident. God didn't accidentally let that slide in there so a seven-year-old girls wouldn't read it. But when she read it, I laughed at Brittany's post so hard. I was like, oh, my goodness. Because there's some stuff in the Bible that is not rated for kids. It's something you read as you get a little older, okay? We just read Deuteronomy 1:30, right? Okay. But how good is that right there? The Lord goes with you. He sees you. He hears you. And he'll even keep his enemies away from you, okay? And the thing is, God the Father even sent his Son, Jesus, to even go before us in temptation. So there's no temptation that he hasn't even gone before us. He goes before us even in temptation. So the fact that, oh, well, he wouldn't know, he wouldn't understand, but he does.
Amen.
He never had to, but he did. Like, he never had to walk through, but he did.
Yes.
He chose not to do those things. And sometimes that's where we fall short, is we fall into those temptations, but he went before us. And just because he didn't fall into the temptation doesn't mean he didn't walk there first. So, I believe this is the last scripture I'm going to go to, but it's Habakkuk, say that 10 times fast, right? 3:17-18. And some of you might recognize this from the verse of the day. I don't know, it's just so cool. Like, if you're having trouble, man, open the verse of the day on your Bible app, and there's like, even if you click on it, right beside the verse of the day, you all can't see this, obviously, but there's a little play button. If you press play right there, there's actually a pastor, minister of some sort that has been asked to do the verse of the day, and they break down, like, it's like usually less than 5 minutes to break down that scripture. So, like, sometimes you get a verse of the day, like, I'm not sure on that one. I don't know how that relates. So you're like, but, like, God put it there for a reason. But the thing is, you click play on that, it builds you up. Like, it's cool because, like, wow, I didn't think about it like that. Okay? And that's what we're all here to do, is to build each other up. And think of ways, and you're not trying to just do this, do that, and, like, exegete it. Oh, I'll get this because nobody's ever thought of it. Okay, there's probably somebody who already said it before. Okay? But we open our ears to what the Lord has for us and just go in and listen. It's good stuff. Okay.
Amen.
Habakkuk, again, don't say that 10 times fast, but 3:17-18 says, even the fig trees does not blossom. No, sorry, even if the fig tree does not blossom and there is no fruit of the rivers. Okay, wait a second. This is kind of down, Pastor Richard. You're already saying, like, this good stuff. He goes with you. What's this stuff? Okay, but it says, if the yield of the olive fails and the fields produce no food, even if the flock despairs from the fold, and there is no cattle in the stalls, yet I will triumph in the Lord.
Amen.
I will rejoice in the God of my salvation.
Amen.
Okay? Even if you're walking through these struggles, I don't have cattle. Maybe I'm supposed to have some day, you know, cattle on many hills. But even if my cattle all died, okay? Even if this is going on and you're walking through it, at the very, very least, we need to know that we have our salvation.
Amen.
And that's a big deal because that's kind of where we serve eternity. So even if you have a couple bad days here, even years, okay, we always know that the best is still ahead of us. Okay.
Yes.
Now, God doesn't prepare us to have a bad life. But even if you had a horrible life and you're saved, you know that the best days are ahead of you because you have salvation and you have eternity in heaven. Okay. Again, this pastor I was listening to as a verse today, he said this. He said, we don't choose what we go through, but we can choose how we go through it.
Amen.
Right? I'm going to say it one more time. We don't choose what we go through, but we can choose how we go through it.
Yes.
Okay? I really hope this message talked to you, spoke to you, but the biggest deal is we just need to be filled daily.
Amen.
Because the walk is so much easier when you're filled up daily. And I'll tell you right now, Pastor Brittany and I have been in like a busy, busy schedule, busy time right now. We've been, if you haven't checked out the back room, check out the kids' life room.
Yeah. Amen.
Her vision was awesome. She killed her vision. We had a team come together, help us do that. But there was time we were working hard on that. And then I noticed, because we did a month of kids' life. God bless your souls, guys. when they would take a, there was a month where we weren't in here being filled by our pastors. So we had to, like, you know, we had to physically go out and listen to our own message. We have to study for messages and stuff like that. There is a difference when you're being filled and there's a message when you're not.
Yeah.
And you can listen to YouTube and it's great. It is. Okay, don't get me wrong. There are great messages online, but there's something about being in here.
Yes. Yes.
And not only being in here, but being around the people.
Amen.
Because I felt that this morning, and the Lord told me this, you could come to this room, but if nobody's here, it's just another room.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And I know that's not eye-opening and mind-boggling, okay? I'm not trying to, but I was thinking about it, man, it's so much easier to like listen to you here, even as worship's going on, praise is going on, all these things are coming in to add to the word that I'm preaching today. And he just said, even if you were here, it wouldn't be the same. Because you have to be here with people. Surround yourself. Because, again, I know this might sound Christianese, but we are the church.
Yes.
This is the building that we gather in, but we are the church.
Amen.
Okay? So, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Who goes before you? Right? And who do we go before? Here's the question. So, but here's a question. I'm going to ask it like this, though. We know that God goes before us. But what are the leaders that are going before us? Who are we seeking after? Okay? Because we know that God goes with us. Okay? And that is, we could be fed by him alone, in this word alone. But who's going before us in the sense of who am I listening to? Who's got input in my life?
Yes.
Okay? Now, the answer again here could be God, but who are you going before? Meaning, yes, God goes before us, he goes with us, but the same thing is, who am I leading? Who am I inviting to church? And this might not be everybody's conviction, okay? I'm not asking you to be, but he did tell us to go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, okay? But it is a cool thing when at the end of the sermons and nobody raises their hand, we believe that everybody's saved. But something that hit me was like, when we raise our hand and we believe that everybody's saved here, who am I inviting? Because I should be inviting people that are not saved here. And I have been, and I do, and it's funny, Brittany and I always joke about it, but because I think Pastor Tim said, if you ask 70% of the people you invite will come to church, I'm like, I must just be getting that 30%. Don't worry, guys, I'll take care of the 30%, because I invite people, and they're like, they just, oh, yeah, I got something going on. It's like, okay, well, I invited you, and I'll keep on working on it, but it's just, I laugh, like, guys, I'll take care of the 30%. You guys go get the 70, okay? But it's true, though. I mean, people often don't come because they weren't invited. So we just have to invite them.
Yeah.
And I'll say this thing, too. Because of the convenience of our phone here, okay, sometimes we leave this at home, okay? Now, here's the thing. If somebody's reading a book in a paper form, or they're reading online, which are you more apt to ask them about? Oh, I see you're reading a book. But if I'm reading a book on my phone, oh, they're busy, they're checking emails, they're probably working, I don't want to interrupt them. So somebody said it like this. The word of God was taken out of America, or the word of God was taken out from your life because you took the word of God out of your life. Okay? Now, not because you necessarily stopped reading it, but again, go to the coffee shop, go to where, I don't drink coffee, so that's not a good example, but go somewhere, open up your book, your Bible, or maybe just be intentional, even though I don't drink coffee, go to Starbucks, because I need it there, just kidding, but just play. But go and open up your actual paper Bible, and be intentional about it. Open it up. But that's scary. Richard, what if I go and then somebody So who cares? Here's the way I want to look at it is like, we only have a little bit of time here in eternity with him. I want to get as many people there with me. So know that you go, that God goes before you, God goes with you, and God fights for you. Okay?
Amen.
I'm going to end in prayer, and then Pastor Ricky has anything he can come up to. But Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I do thank you that you are so good. I thank you that you helped me through this message, and I thank you that you helped me remember things that I haven't even studied, and I thank you that you are here for me. So Lord, we thank you that you will always be with us. So Lord, as we leave this day, we know that you go with us. You've even gone before us, and we know that you fight for us. So Lord, we thank you that we can leave here reassured and rested, knowing that you are with us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Amen. That was a good word. Amen. I wrote down a lot of notes. So, that's awesome. Amen. I really did. Can you turn me up? Yeah, I'm on. We're just figuring it out. Amen. And we're back. So, I'm not going to repeat everything I just said. Yeah. but don't forget, this morning, right after church, we will feed you whoever's the children's, what?